Send a movie idea.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Dream Factory. Oh my God!
To be fair, Joel, you have 3 washing baskets in here.
I'm hoarding washing baskets. Leave me alone.
Yes, go and do the washing while I record my podcast. Stop interrupting my podcast to do things like the washing. Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules here are simple. We can discuss as many of your ideas as we like, but only one can be taken through to the next stage. Well, it'll form the basis of a diss track John and I have been writing for some time, ready to take shots at film podcasts everywhere. I'm Joel, a man who puts the ick into Kendrick, and across from me is John Harris, a man who has already developed quite a fierce reputation as one of the top 5 battle rappers in Ware, Hertfordshire. Hello, John.
Hello, mate. The streets are quaking.
The streets be quaking. I remember when battle rap was a really big deal. Do you remember it was everywhere?
Yeah.
I think it's still quite a thriving scene. I think I just... maybe I drifted away from battle rap, and it's not that battle rap drifted away, John.
There's a couple battle rappers who I get on TikTok nowadays, but they're more sort of just like general comedians than they are sort of battle rappers per se. I mean, like people like Romesh and Doc Brown, they sort of started off in battle rapping, didn't they?
They did. Yeah, that's true. Anyway... That's our next pivot, John. We're going to become feared battle rappers. I think my issue with battle rap is that I'm not very good at receiving criticism. And from what I've seen of battle rap, that is quite a large part of it. Is there a battle rap for sort of compliments? What's the opposite of trash talking? That's what I need. Arm around the shoulder kind of battle rap.
Sort of like confidence boost rapping at each other.
Yeah. I'd be really into that. I'm not sure it would kind of pack out underground car parks and have people sort of screaming and hollering and, you know, be huge on YouTube if it was people being quite nice to each other.
I don't know. I think
maybe that's what we need. Maybe that's what society needs.
Here we go, lads. That's what
that's our
Kendrick,
contribution, John.
Drake, say something nice to each other. Shit sandwich. Put the insults in between a couple of compliments.
Yeah. Come on, guys. Why can't we all just get along? Anyway, John, speaking of getting along, in no way is this anything to do with getting along. Let's have some film ideas from our listeners.
Let's get along with some movie ideas.
Good, well done. How about this one from Rich? Gangsters versus Gangstars. Time travel comedy where rappers travel back to the Prohibition era.
Astonishing this wasn't actually made in about 2000, right?
Well, there is already... Look, there's already a huge crossover here. There is a rapper, grime artist called Bugsy Malone, who's kind of already achieved this.
It's true.
Yeah, I like it. So you think this should have already happened when there was like peak interest in when they were releasing Def Jam video games and SingStar Def Jam and all of that jazz? You think it's a missed opportunity they didn't do a movie where they all travel back in time?
Yeah, I was going to say that era where Snoop Dogg was sort of up for anything, but I mean, he did just do a bunch of takeaway adverts, so I mean, he's still up for anything.
I think he is. I think one of the big problems with that, John, is your friend of mine, racism. It's quite hard to do a film.
No, not friends of either of us. No,
it's quite hard. It's quite hard to do a film about black rappers going back in time to the 1930s and having anything other than a truly horrible time.
Yeah, but it's like an early noughties romp of a film. We're not going to cover that.
Okay. good. Ignoring that, fine. On the Snoop Dogg thing, one of my earliest sort of appreciations of Snoop Dogg away from music was him in Starsky and Hutch, the often overlooked Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson vehicle from, I'm going to guess, 2005. Mm. He plays Huggy Bear. He's excellent. I remember, maybe because I was 14, I remember that film being fucking brilliant. It was one of those films I had on DVD, and as a result, I've probably seen 100 times.
There's a running bit where Ben Stiller keeps saying, do it, or something, right?
Yeah, he says, do it. That's right. I read about it in a book about it. I think that's from Starsky and Hutch as well. It's good stuff,
good
man.
That's a good line.
Yeah.
I can't see. Is it Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson?
Yes.
Christ.
I know, weird to put those two together in something, but you know what? It really worked. It really worked. It's quite bold by the casting. I remember thinking that at the time. I think it's quite a bold decision from the casting director to put Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson in as sort of the joint leads. But no, they managed to pull it off.
Owen Wilson, did he ever solo lead a film, or was it always a romantic comedy, or he was next to Ben Stiller or Jackie Chan?
There's going to be people screaming at us. Isn't there that recent one where he's got it's sort of a sad one where his kid's in a... Oh, Midnight in Paris.
Oh, there we go.
Because I said Midnight in Paris as I was Googling Owen Wilson, then I said, oh, I wrote Owen and Wilson. Owen Wilson. But I think it's fairly limited. But we like Owen Wilson, don't we?
Oh, I've got no issues with him. He's just... Huh. I feel like he's a great co-host.
He plays Lightning McQueen. So <That's... laughs> I guess that's probably his biggest lead role.
I've never watched the Cars films, really. And I thought, oh, now I've got a toddler. This is it. Cars time. He's not that fussed.
Oh, man.
My partner did show him the trailer for Shrek yesterday, and he asked to watch the trailer again. So we might try Shrek out.
I think Cars was a bit of a cultural phenomenon in the way that Shrek has become, right? Wasn't there? I remember Lightning McQueen being quite a memed thing. I think it's probably to do with... I think it's people that are slightly younger than us, because Cars came out when we were about 15. Mm. So at that point, like now we've broken through the snobby teenage years, John, that you and I both lived through, and come out the other side with a broad appreciation for things like kids' films. But for Cars to come out in 2006 is easily the worst possible moment for us to even engage with anything like that. We were moving beyond it. We had grown up. We were 15. We understood the world, and we'd, you know, formulated all of our adult opinions, and they would never change ever again.
I saw a video the other day that I thought myself like 10 years ago wouldn't be able to physically comprehend, which was an adult man, but he might have been younger than us, but he was an adult man with children, and he was so excited, like unbelievably excited, because his wife had bought him a pair of Lightning McQueen Crocs.
That is, I mean, yeah, I don't want to speak ill of certain people, but you're straying into Disney adult territory there, I think. That's not what I'm trying to get at. I'm trying to say, John, when I was 15, I was in denial that any kids film could ever be anything interesting. But now I'm an adult, I appreciate these things immensely. I'm not saying I want you to go and buy me a Woody outfit and about that. I think Disney adults are a different thing, because they've never been turned off to the charms of those movies.
By the way, are you subtweeting my son here? Because when you saw my son the other day, he was dressed as Woody.
Yeah, I really regret reaching for the Woody thing. And I think it's acceptable for him to wear that Woody outfit for maybe another 6 months, but then he really has to grow up.
Would you like...
But Shrek's the same. I can't understand why Shrek is like the biggest film on the internet. That's another thing about the generation below us. But I remember watching Shrek and enjoying Shrek, but it being like it wasn't like one of the classics when I was a kid. It wasn't like a modern classic like Toy Story. It was like a fun DreamWorks movie that came and went. But for some reason, Shrek is like an enormous deal. People like are crazy for Shrek. I see Shrek, if I was to think of all the kids' films I see online being talked about, Shrek is easily number one.
Yeah, I think there's like a thing where it happened when we were kids, it was all right. It's got that early DreamWorks sort of, this is a kids film, but it's not really a kids film. It's for the adults, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And then I think just millennials sort of memed it to death. You can get Lush Bath Bombs right now, themed Shrek Lush Bath Bombs today.
That's crazy. Oh. Is it like Swamp Water or something like that?
I tell you what, they are gearing up. I think they're making a live action Lilo and Stitch, and I can tell you they're gearing up with that, because every shop I go to in the kids' clothing section, there's a lot of Lilo and Stitch content, and I just think Lilo and Stitch was not leaving that mark when we were kids.
Lilo and Stitch, no, again, Lilo and Stitch was like a one and done. Did anyone rewatch Lilo and Stitch? That's fascinating.
Yeah, it's live really action. Big.
Who's playing Stitch?
There's a photo that looks like a shit post of like a little teddy Stitch sat in a car, and it is a shot like, you know, from the film someone's taking it.
no.
Some paparazzi's found the set. Would you like a film idea from Beck? Diarrhea of a Wimpy Kid.
Oh, no.
For full context, Beck said this in the intro of her wonderful podcast that we are mortal enemies with, A Problem Squared. And then I tweeted her to say we're taking that. And then she retweeted that tweet. She didn't say, yeah, sure, you can have it. But she did retweet the tweet. So that's
enough. Feels like permission. Yeah. Diarrhea of a Wimpy Kid. I don't know too much about Diarrhea of a Wimpy Kid. But if you were a kid experiencing diarrhea, it might be quite handy to have a diary to hand.
True. And if you are a wimpy kid, anxiety and bowel movements do go hand in hand to a certain extent.
That's very true. And you imagine if you were a down on your luck kind of wimpy kid, you might find yourself in a situation where you are in a cubicle that doesn't have any loo roll. That's feasible, isn't it? You know, that's the kind of situation that would befall an unfortunate kid. It's the sort of situation, John, that befell me once. Have I told this story on the podcast before?
I was going to say I'm getting whiffs of it, but I'm don't. Whiffs is the
You're
wrong
getting
word.
Whiffs of it, yeah. That's, you know, if you do listen to this podcast in certain apps, John has put in key smells at certain intervals.
Scratch your card now.
Scratch and list. And I was doing the behind the scenes tour of FC Barcelona I'm gonna say the year 2010. So we're doing the big tour, me and my pal Tom, and at one point, John, I needed to go to the loo. So I skipped off to the loo. Good thing about being on a stadium tour is that Barcelona Stadium seats 100,000 people, but there's only a few thousand people at any one time there when it's not a match day. But there's still facilities for 100,000 people, so you really got your pick of the place. You're going to roam around there and you have a lovely time. So I went and found a toilet on the concourse in the stands, and I was in a cubicle and I did my business, John. And then I looked around and there was no loo roll.
Yeah, because they've got 100,000 people's worth of toilet roll.
Well, exactly. Now, complete disaster. There were people milling around in the loo, so I waited for all of them to go. And then, I don't know why I did this, but I don't know if there's any sort of correct course of action. I didn't pull my trousers and pants up.
And you shuffled?
I shuffled from one cubicle to the other, which means for maybe 10 to 12 seconds, there was a window where someone would have walked in and seen my cock and balls, right?
I would say it's less embarrassing that they see your genitals than they see your trousers and short and pants by your ankles, like a little child.
By your ankles. Yeah, I guess so. Well, there's no part of it that's not embarrassing, I guess, is the point we're making. Anyway, I shuffle. I make it into the next cubicle without being seen, lock the door, sit down, breathe a huge sigh of relief, look to my right. There's also no loo roll in the second cubicle.
Was there any in the whole toilet complex?
Well, I'll be honest, John, at that point I gave up because I'd already ridden my luck quite a bit with the previous shuffle. I couldn't shuffle cubicle to cubicle. You know, this is a popular tour. If I at some point someone's gonna walk into the loo as I shuffle into the fifth cubicle. So no, I did what anyone would do in that situation, and I used a sock. John, would you like a film idea?
Yes.
From Matt. Old Hobbits Die Hard.
Very good. So Nakatomi Plaza, that's one of the
interesting. Yep.
That's like
that's interesting. That's where you're taking it.
The Eye of Sauron is a big tower. He could be sort of climbing up. What are you thinking, Joe?
I was thinking, you know those movies where they get old people to do action? Red.
Yeah. Expendables.
Expendables. I was thinking we are, you know, hobbits live quite a long time, but they're all, let's say, Samwise, Merry and Pippin. Not Frodo because he disappears off somewhere else. Spoiler for Lord of the Rings there. Samwise, Merry and Pippin, they're like 120 years old and they get called out for one last job. And it's watching cranky old hobbits trying to save Middle Earth.
We've got a little while before they get old. They're not even that, you know. Elijah Wood's still not that old. Well, he's actually one of those guys who sort of has a very youthful face. He might be, mid-40s? I'm not here to guess his age, but I'd imagine he's around there.
He must be mid-40s, yeah.
One time my brother was in the airport and we were picking him up. He had done, what's it called? What's that thing that people do when they go build like a school in South America or something? World Challenge. He'd done the World Challenge. And he was coming back and we were at the airport and we were in a lift and the actor Billy Boyd was in the lift. And I noticed it straight away. But my mum, who is a big nerd and loves this sort of stuff, did not. So my brother went, "That's Billy Boyd," to my mum. And she went, "What?" And he went, "That's Billy Boyd." She went, "What?" And he just went, "That's Pippin."
Oh,
just so loud.
Did you meet Pippin?
I didn't meet. Well, I mean, he looked at us because my brother shouted, "That's Pippin." Mm. Does that count as meeting a person?
I think so, yeah.
I'd
class that as friendship.
Yeah, fine. Cranky old hobbits. They have to, for some reason, The one ring is needed, so they have to go back to Mount Doom and fish it out.
Nice. Maybe it's like, you know, and I don't know if they're a con, but you know those sort of copper bands that people wear for arthritis? Maybe the hobbits are getting really old, and one of the perks of the one ring, and this isn't actually mentioned in the movies, is that it's actually pretty, when you pop it on, it does help, really helps with arthritic joints. And so the old boys are going back to claim it for that reason.
But I mean, it's important to say it's not mentioned in the movies, but J.R.R. Tolkien does mention it in the books.
Loads. Yeah. Loads and loads and loads. He mentions it in that one that I don't believe anyone's read. The Silmarillion. That's rubbish. Isn't that just a list? It's like, isn't it like, it's essentially the Middle Earth Yellow Pages, isn't it? I'm pretty sure it is. I don't believe anyone has read it. From what I've heard, there's no story. It is just like, and then he begat him, and then he went and did that, and then the next guy of the next generation. It's rubbish.
Are you going to play the Hobbit farming sim, Joel, that is coming out soon?
When I heard about it, in theory, I was excited, and then I saw the trailer for it, and I became, I would say, less excited.
That's fair.
I was hearing whispers on the internet of, like, it's like Stardew Valley or Harvest Moon, but in Hobbiton, and I thought, hello.
That sounds great.
And then I saw a trailer, and I thought, I've been lied to by the internet for the first time. This will not happen again.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
John, give me another film idea.
What about this one from Stu? Baby Train Beer. Daycare goes on the train to the cup final and it gets messy.
Baby Train Beer.
Now I can't abide by the premise of a film where a baby just gets drunk on a train. So I think maybe... What about the premise is like, it's like a sort of laddie comedy film and these lads want to get to the cup final, but they haven't got tickets, but they know they can go as like plus, you know, babe in arm. Like if you're under 6 months, you can go to the big match in your parents' arms.
Yeah, so you think they're gonna dress up as tiny babies? Yeah, yeah. There's six of them. They've only got three tickets, but they know that a child under 6 months can get in for free. And so these guys are going to get absolutely blasted so that they're talking gibberish. They almost sound like babies. They've got big baby costumes on. It's kind of like Weekend at Bernie's, but instead of it being an old dead person, it's a newborn baby and they're trying to get them into... It's good. I reckon they're kind of like... They maybe create some construction where they almost look like Tiny Dick and Dom.
Yes. Yeah.
So they're being walked up in like within sort of a frame and a curtain around their heads that's got a tiny little body painted onto it. In the hope of watching, as you described it, John, the big cup final, because you love footy.
I mean, I'm just using the phrasing from Stu, the big cup final.
The big cup final, yeah. Nondescript big cup final.
I think that is what happens in the film as well, because they can't get, you know, the rights to say the FA Cup final. It would cost them millions of pounds.
The big game. Two teams that don't exist.
Listener, this is like a little fun advertising thing that you might not realise, but around those sort of big events, particularly like the World Cup, advertisers who aren't the official partners of the World Cup will want to sort of cash in on the World Cup, but they're not allowed to. So they will use terminology like getting ready for the big game and just like the most generic football, sort of vaguely football-y stuff you can imagine.
Really, it's really good. Brilliant. Big, if you're listening to radio or audio, whatever, just big cheer sound effects. And like what's really funny about work, if you work in audio and stuff like that, you can reach a point where you can recognize like cheering SFX, or like there's like a particular applause that I've used in the past and I've heard on of quite a few adverts. And there's another one, I think it's Sunday League Football SFX, and I've used it in the past on like documentaries and things, and I think I heard it on like an advert for Pepsi or something. It's good stuff, man. It's really good stuff. Yeah, they'll all try and order now so you can get your pizza for halftime in the big game.
Are you Reds or Blues?
Are you Reds or Blues? Win or lose? Make sure your pizza arrives by halftime. John, would you like a film idea from me, Joel?
Yes, please.
Here's one from me, Joel. The Watch. It's the film The Watch, starring Richard Ayoade, Ben Stiller, Vince Vaughn and Jonah Hill. But instead of uncovering an alien plot, they take on a neighborhood 17th century puritanical witch.
Right, so The Watch was like, in theory, everyone was like, this is great. And then it was
I think I saw it at the cinema and enjoyed it. But again,
okay,
maybe I was just a thick-headed young person excited to see that cast of people in the film.
I remember finding it quite funny.
It's directed by one of Lonely Island, Akiva.
Well, that sounds great.
Yeah. Why is no one talking about The Watch anymore? Bring back The Watch. Maybe we can make The Watch the next big huge thing on the internet after Cars and Shrek.
Yeah, why not? Because I remember at the time being very excited because it was like Richard Ayoade's sort of foray into Hollywood, which unfortunately started and ended there, I believe.
It did, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I remember. I haven't seen it. I just remember the reviews being bad. But I do think the idea of that cast fighting a witch is pretty great.
And I mean, it's the really terrifying witch from the film The Witch.
So is it scary or is it funny or is it somehow both?
It's somehow both. Jonah Hill can do serious. Ben Stiller can do serious. Vince Vaughn. These guys can all do serious.
Of course, of course.
Yeah. So I think it starts off funny. And much like in the film, like The Witch, the sort of seriousness and horror ramps up.
That would be quite good and very traumatic for certain people if, you bring them in imagining they're getting like a sort of Hollywood, you know, comedy A-listers romp, and then it ends up slowly by the end of it, you're watching a real sort of a really horrific psychological thriller. The thing about The Witch is like it's sort of all just tension, isn't it? It's almost worse in a way because there's no actual release.
There's a big release.
Okay, fine.
Scared the heck out of me. John, what about you? Give me yours.
What about this one from me? Pasta Lives. A couple from Italy go their separate ways and rekindle, but discover that their interest in carbohydrates have changed. She's into bread now.
Whoa. Oh, wow. I thought maybe they were going to get together over a long spaghetti.
No, that's already been done in a film, I believe. Yeah, so she moves somewhere. She moves to America in past lives. So maybe she moves into America, moves to New York, gets into bagels. And he's very sad because he's into pasta.
Yep, and famously, you can't have pasta and bread together at any point.
At the end, they have a pasta-filled bagel and a horrific heartburn.
No, I think at the end, they have a pasta-filled bagel and it becomes like the viral hit for a month and it's open in Spitalfields Market. Some people are paying 13 quid for it and they can't believe their luck.
The carbonara bagel, okay.
It's the sort of thing that would remove all of the practicalities of having a bagel and all of the joy of eating a bowl of pasta. And for those reasons, it would be cute. People would queue around the block. You know, like, it would almost be like they would dip the entire bagel in passata, making it impossible to eat. But that's a good thing.
If you can't take a mate, bring a date. No, the other way around.
Oh, well done, John. What was your favourite of all the films that you heard pitched to you today?
Diarrhea of a Wimpy Kid.
Diary of a Wimpy Kid was very, very good. And it reminded us of one of Joel's lowest ebbs. Well done, John.
Hello, mate. How is your ebb or flow right now? Are you flowing?
I'm flowing right now.
Oh, great.
I'm flowing. We're recording this on Thursday afternoon. My working week is pretty much concluded. So I'm flowing, John. How are you? Are you ebbing or are you flowing?
I'd say I'm flowing. I'm pleased because when I texted you at the end of the weekend asking when we were going to record, it felt like you were in an ebb that was never going to end.
I was in a big ebb. I'd been to a big wedding and I was on I was on a downward spiral of a weekend of excess. But now, John, I've picked myself up and I'm ready to do it all over again.
Are you boozing this weekend?
No way. No way. It's maybe not really the sort of conversation we have on the end of Dream Factory, but my attitudes towards boozing has changed quite radically.
If you're not boozing, you're losing.
I now love it.
That's what you
used to
say
all the time. I'm picking my moments. I'm picking and choosing when I'm doing my boozing.
Oh, lovely little catchphrase. Yeah, I mean, I agree completely. I mean, also just, if I drink, I have to come home to a toddler and a baby and I can't just sort of feel sorry for myself and watch Netflix. I have to deal with whinging from at least two people, potentially three, depending on how bad I was the night before.
Depending if you're looking in the mirror or not. Yep. But hey, I don't think those are bad lifestyle choices. No. Giving up booze, not having children.
Tell you what I have been enjoying on this subject is sometimes on a, you know, towards the end of the week, if a colleague would like to go to the pub at lunchtime for a beer or two, I will still join them, but I will have the Guinness 0%. Which
it's so good, man.
It's excellent. It's delicious. And you feel smug. So it's a win-win-win, if you ask me.
I love feeling smug. It's the best. John, what have you been enjoying this week, culturally? Anything?
The only new thing that I haven't mentioned before in here that's really great is the Lonely Island Seth Meyers podcast, which is, as the title suggests, it is the Lonely Island and Seth Meyers. And they're basically going through their history of SNL sketches and what they like. It's mostly sort of dictated by Lonely Island sketches, but there is a bit of about Seth's time there because he was head writer for a long time. And it's really, really interesting. They're really funny and sweet. You know, they seem sweet. They seem like nice guys at the very least.
Mm.
And yeah, I definitely recommend it. I think there's like four episodes now. And yeah, it's just a
cool.
I've not seen that.
Yeah, I look forward to hanging with the guys. John, I've been enjoying a TikTok account called Cash Money Brothers. I sent you a little... I say enjoying, I've become completely obsessed. I sent you a link earlier so that you'd be across what I'm talking about. It's basically a couple of fellas that perform incredible choreographed dance routines in what look like a selection of the worst nightclubs across Britain. And I must make it clear, they're not being paid to be there. It's not like an appearance by Cash Money Brothers. They've called themselves Cash Money Brothers. They've got Cash Money Brothers logo jackets. And they do these dance routines. I can't even begin to describe them. I would just recommend going searching Cash Money Brothers or looking at the accounts that I follow on TikTok because they're number one and watching a few of their videos. It is sensational. John, how would you describe your experience watching a couple of videos of Cash Money Brothers?
As a fellow follically challenged man, it doesn't help that they're sort of two bold men with very similar sort of structures. So they're quite sort of indistinguishable from one another.
But that's the beauty of it, isn't it? Because they're so perfectly choreographed.
Yeah. And I assume they have like 10 routines that they're rotating, right? They haven't got a new routine for every song.
Well, that's what I want to know. How do they rehearse? When you watch it, it feels like intuition. It feels like there's something being transmitted between their two beautiful bald heads that you can't even... Maybe, John, if you were in the room with them, you would start doing the moves as well. You would just pick it up. There's something happening. Because I was deep in the comments of a Cash Money Brothers video not too long ago, and somebody said, do you rehearse these? And they said, no rehearsals.
What?
I know! It's just Cash Money Brothers intuition. You put on the Cash Money Brothers jacket and you just know, you understand, you feel it.
Where Joel and I are going for a weekend in Dublin in June. We should learn a routine.
We should be Cash Money Brothers.
The Dollar Dude siblings.
Perfect. There you go. We'll look forward to that landing on the Dream Factory socials. Go and follow us and give us film ideas. That'd be really nice. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Joel. Thank you, listener.
See you next week. Bye. Bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.